Okay, before we begin, just to make a quick correction from last time, we were finishing up the Perek Aleph last time, and we concluded the last Mishnah, and I just want to read through it one more time just to make sure we were all on the same page. I think I might have misread it. So the Mishnah says, towards the end, Machatzeles Kanem Gedola, Asa'al Shchiva, Mekabelas Tuma Ve'in Mesakchenba, that if a person makes a large reed mat for lying down, then it's susceptible to Tuma, and may not be used as a Schach. In other words, if he made it with the intention that it's for lying down, then it's going to be considered a kli and therefore susceptible to tuma. However, if he never would have said anything, he just decided to make a large reed mat, then we assume since people don't usually use that for lying down, then it would not be considered a kli and therefore it would be kosher for a schach and therefore not susceptible to tuma. And then following that, the siguch mesakchen ba ve'ina mekabel as tuma. It seems like over here we're talking about a small reed mat, and in general, let's translate. If a person made it for shade, like a person made it for a schach, then it could be used for a schach, and therefore it's not susceptible to tumah. And this is, again, regarding a small reed mat. And the reason why the guy would have to say specifically that he's making it for a schach is, or making it for this shade purpose, for a schach purpose, is because a stam, a regular small reed mat, without any sort of intention given for it, it's assumed that it's being made to lie down, and therefore it's assumed that a stam small reed mat is going to be considered a kli, and therefore would not be kosher for schach, because then it would be considered something that would be makabel tuma. So if a person explicitly says that he's making it for the sake of a schach, then it would be totally kosher. And then we concluded the Mishnah in the paragraph, says, whether a person is making a small or a large reed mat, it was always considered, presumably made for lying down, and therefore it's always considered to be susceptible to tuma, and therefore cannot be used as a schach. However, if he made either one of them, the small or the large one, he says specifically, I'm making it for shade, for schach, then it could be used as schach, and therefore it's not susceptible to tuma. So that's, I just wanted to clarify that. That's the end of Perek Aleph. We'll just read the first Mishnah of Perek Beis. Says the Mishnah, if a person sleeps under a bed in a kosher sukkah, right? So he's in a regular sukkah, but he brought a bed in and he decides to sleep underneath the bed, then he has not fulfilled its obligation of being in the sukkah. That's what the first opinion says. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, what are you talking about? We used to sleep under the bed in the sukkah in the presence of the elders, right? These wise Talmidei Chachamim. And they never said anything to us saying that it wasn't okay. Therefore, it would seem that if you sleep underneath a bed in a sukkah, then you are totally in the right, and therefore you do still fulfill your obligation of dwelling in a sukkah. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says the following story. One time happened that Tavi, who was the famous servant of Rabban Gamliel, again, he was a Canaanite slave, not a Jewish slave, so Rabban Gamliel's servant Tavi was sleeping under a bed in a sukkah. Okay? So who is this story going to be a proof for? We'll see in a second. Rabban Gamliel said to the elders, "Re'isem Tavi Adi," says with pride, "have you seen how wise and how great my servant Tavi is? Shehu Talmid Chacham v'yodei Avadim peturim min asukah," because he's a Talmid Chacham, he's a Torah scholar, and he knows that Avadim, that slaves, are exempt from the mitzvah of being in a sukkah. Lefikach yashin hu tachas amita, therefore he sleeps underneath the bed so that he can make room for those who are obligated. Wow. That's him praising his servant. And from this, you can clearly learn out, from this regular comment that Rabban Gamliel made in a conversation, we learn in passing that a person who sleeps under a bed in a sukkah has not fulfilled his obligation. So it seems like there seems to be a machlokas, but Rabban Gamliel brings up, there's a proof brought from a story with Rabban Gamliel that the first opinion is right, that if you sleep under a bed in a sukkah, you have not fulfilled your obligation. That brings us to the end of Mishnah Aleph. And for now, we'll stop right here. God willing, next time we'll continue with Mishnah Beis and Perek Beis.